Our scripture reading this morning is from Ecclesiastes, and if you would like to join along in reading, it is Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 15. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. The word of God for the people of God.
Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, protect me from me and hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak this morning and the thoughts that we together share be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. The year was 1866. And the United States was recovering from the very long and bloody civil war between the North and the South. Surviving soldiers were going home, and they had many stories to tell their families. Henry Wells was a drugstore owner in Waterloo, New York. He heard the stories, and an idea came to him. He suggested that all shops in town closed for one day to honor the soldiers who were killed in the Civil War and who were buried in the cemetery at Waterloo. About the same time, retired Major General Jonathan Logan planned another ceremony, this time for the soldiers who had survived the war. He led the veterans through town that had closed to the cemetery to decorate the graves of the soldiers who did not return home alive. It was not a happy celebration, but it was a memorial. And the townspeople called it Decoration Day. A few years later, in 1882, the name was changed to Memorial Day, and soldiers who had fought in previous wars were honored as well. When the first Memorial Day was celebrated, a group of women from Washington, D.C., asked the War Department for permission to put flowers on the soldiers' graves at Arlington Cemetery. As you can imagine, after a lot of haggling and discussion with the government, permission was finally granted to do so. But they had one caveat. No flowers were to be placed were to be placed on the graves of the Confederate soldiers who were buried in a segregated part of the cemetery. The ladies carried out their task faithfully, and then General James Garfield made a speech. And in those points and times, speeches went quite long. In fact, if it was less than 3 hours, you weren't considered to have given a good speech. So as he was about a third of the way through it, a strong wind blew and came up. It stopped the speech, and it scattered all the flowers and moved them to the Confederate section. After that, that separation was never repeated. Many people there that morning believed that they had witnessed a miracle of two ways, that it was divine intervention that stopped the speech and spread the flowers. In 1971, President Nixon declared Memorial Day to be a federal holiday, to be observed on the last Monday in May. Today, it's limited not only to those Americans from the armed forces, but it's also has become a day for personal remembrance. Families and individuals honor the memories of their loved ones who have died. There are church services and many visits to the cemetery. Flowers are placed on graves and are marked with dignity. I was amazed as we drove in this morning to see the cemetery that's just off of 275 there on Colerain, and all the flowers that were there, and the flags that had been placed, and the people that were already there visiting their loved ones. It was quite a sight. Too often, however, I think for too many, the day sometimes becomes simply a day off, a day to party, a day to remember that mainly the start of the summer is here. I think this day, however, for most of us means more than cookouts and boating and trips to the beach, thoughts of beginning of summer activities, the end of school. It does have a deeper meaning. Tomorrow marks the national observance of Memorial Day, and all across America, there will be the sound of marching feet, band music, and drums. In cities and small towns, people will gather. They'll gather at parks and cemeteries. They'll gather along the sides of streets. And there will be speeches given and parades walked. Prayers are prayed. Taps are played. And a salute given and a 21 guns fired. It is our way of saying thank you to those who died, that we may continue to enjoy our freedom and our faith. Do you like cemeteries? I don't know why, but there are times that I do find peace when I walk down rows in the cemeteries, looking at the headstones, sometimes thinking of the stories that are there. Many years ago, while I was down south, I came upon a rather deserted, small little cemetery out in what many of us would call the sticks. I found myself kind of getting out of the car and going and walking through that cemetery and thinking about it. And I noticed a historical marker by the entrance. And I discovered that it was a Civil War cemetery. It contained the bodies of soldiers killed in a battle that was held nearby. And so I spent a little time walking through it, looking at the rows and rows of white crosses, reading some of the names and the regiments to which they belonged. It was interesting. There was an old, small stone wall that ran right through the middle of the cemetery, and had rows of crosses on both sides, with the Confederate soldiers on one side and the Union soldiers on the other. I must admit, I left the cemetery feeling a little down, a little depressed, because here were men who had died and been buried far, far away from home. In those years right after the Civil War, I suspect many people And some of their family traveled long distances to visit their graves, but that's not the case anymore. From the condition of the cemetery, it was obvious to me that hardly anybody visited anymore. They were forgotten, unknown, but not to God. Many years ago, I had the privilege of visiting Arlington Cemetery in Washington, D.C. There lies the bodies of veterans from all of our wars. It is not a neglected cemetery, for hundreds of thousands of people visit it every year. Maybe you've been there too. Maybe you've been struck by the beauty of its simplicity. It was just an awesome sight. As I stood on a hillside above the Potomac River. But to me, the most impressive of all was the tomb that is continually guarded 24/7. We know it as what? The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. In recent years, there's been a few more bodies added to it, but the reality of it is there will probably be no more added there. With science and DNA of the days, the odds of us having a soldier who will be unknown is fairly remote. And on that original tomb are engraved these words: "Here rest in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." Their names are not known to us. Along with many others, they shed their blood for us, that our land might be free, unknown, but not to God. But it isn't just the nation's soldiers who gave themselves to a cause, do their duty, pay the price, and then are forgotten and unknown. It happens to all the people of God at times too. I think there are three reasons that we as Christians should celebrate this Memorial Day. First one, we come to reflect. We reflect upon the awful, horrible cost of war and the fact that freedom comes with a price. Consider, if you will, these footnotes of history concerning the battle at Shiloh. If Lew Wallace, who fought on the Shiloh battlefield, had been killed, there would have never been known of the great literary work Ben-Hur. If Ulysses S. Grant had been slain at Shiloh, we would have lost the President of the United States. If Francis A. Shoup had fallen while leading the Confederate battalions, we would have lost a university president. But these were the men who survived to live out their potential, to achieve their life dreams. We must remember those who did not make it. We must lament also on this day how many potential doctors and authors, college presidents, political leaders, clergymen, and inventors had their careers cut short due to those horrible 2 days at Shiloh. And then multiply that by all the battles and all the wars in our history. And we begin to realize the staggering toll, over 1 million deaths. So this morning, as we gather to remember, tomorrow as we gather to remember, let's not forget the cost of war and what it robs us. Remember on this day not only those who have been killed in action, but also those who have been touched by this rippling effect of war. As you know, a pebble is tossed into a pond and the ripples grow, getting larger, until they touch the outer banks, and so it is with war. I introduce you to the names of John Thompson of New York City. He was born to James and Ellen Thompson in the year of 1844. There was a certain gentleness, perhaps even some naivety, about a country at that time, but still life was hard. At age 15, John's father died, and he was forced to quit school so that he could support his widowed mother and younger sister. At a salary of $4 a week, he became an apprenticed bricklayer. And then came the Civil War. On August 26, 1861, at the age of 19, he enlisted in the 51st New York Regiment. Through mid-September in 1862, Private Thompson continued to support his mother by sending him most of his meager army pay. On December 17th in 1862, as his regiment was attempting to cross Burnside Bridge during the Battle of Antietam, also known as Bull Run, sharpshooter's bullet found his mark, and young Thompson, who in many ways was just beginning his life, fell dead. But the tragedy did not end there. Records indicate that his mother, stunned and sickened by her son's death, became ill and never recovered. November of 1863, she died, leaving her daughter Elizabeth at age 8 an orphan. Today, you can find Private Thompson's grave in National Cemetery at Arlington. His great sacrifice is there, and it's easy for all of us to read that and recognize it. But it's easy to not know the rippling effect of his death and how his life and his loss affected so many others. His mother and his sister were also victims of war, though history has long since lost track of their resting places. Secondly, we gather this day and tomorrow not only to remember, but also to recommit. If we walk away this morning, if we let our national holiday pass us by tomorrow with no stronger resolve to end wars, then we have celebrated this Memorial Day in vain. Just another day when shopping got done. Likewise, we in no way do our war dead a disservice by wrestling with the painful question, were all of the deaths necessary? Our military strength is not to be despised. There are international gangsters out there on the prowl. We must protect ourselves. God understands that. But in the end, we need to understand the words of General Douglas MacArthur when he stood on the deck of the battleship, the USS Missouri. He stood there on Kokio Bay, 1945, to receive the formal surrender of the Japanese government. At that time, he made what I believe is a very penetrating observation. He said, "The problem is basically theological in nature. It must be of the spirit if we're to save the flesh." And that came from a professional soldier. Make no mistake, we must recommit ourselves to peace. God abhors war. It goes against all of his creation. He understands when we must, but we should never do it as a means of convenience. Lastly, as Christians, for us as Christians, every Sunday needs to be Memorial Day. Jesus fought the armies of hell that may have held our liberty in their name. As on Memorial Day, we remember the sacrifice of so many, and we praise that. On Sundays, we're to remember the sacrifice of Christ. It's one reason that Christ gave us the bread at communion. When we break the bread, we remember his body that was given and broken for us. And like the message that's left on so many headstones, we see almost every communion table the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." The bread is as a reminder, but when we have eaten it, it becomes part of our body. It nourishes our body and it nourishes our spirit. Christ paid the price for our freedom, as did so many who died for our liberty. When we drink the juice, we remember Him, the forgiveness that He has for us and the price for it. So it is with our soldiers. Christians on Sundays mourn the loss of the body of Christ, but we remember His life and eat the bread, knowing that we are one body, and we partake of the cup and are thankful for His sacrifice for our salvation. As we go to cemeteries tomorrow, as we observe the parades, we do need to remember all those who have given so much. We need to remember their families and their effect and how that loss impacted them. But we also need to remember that for Christ and for us, people count the most. I remember a woman who was in my home church when I was growing up in Texas. And she brought this lesson very, very close to home for me. She was a widow and had only one son, and he died in a war. And many people really felt that she would become bitter and she would become hard, but she did not. She was always thinking of others. She told me one time, "I remember those who left, but I give flowers to the living." By that she meant that she believed in remembering people while they were still alive. She loved doing things for those who were still with her. She didn't wait to send flowers in honor of the deceased. She did that, yes. But she preferred to give flowers in various forms to the living. Her flowers were often in the forms of bicycles for children who had nothing, refrigerators and cars for those who had nothing else. No telling what else she gave away. People need to know how much we care, how much we love them while they are still living. Let me share with you a poem that I read the other day that, in my mind, expresses this so well. "Is anybody happier because you passed his way? Does anybody remember that you spoke to him today? The day is almost over and its toiling time is through. Is there anyone to utter now a friendly word for you? Can you say tonight in passing, with the days that slipped so past, that you helped a single person of the many that you passed? Is a single heart rejoicing over what you did or said? Does ones whose hopes were fading now with courage look ahead? Did you waste the day or lose it? Was it well or poorly spent? Did you leave a trail of kindness or a scar of discontent?" Galatians chapter 6 tells us, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." So gather tomorrow. Gather tomorrow to remember and to recommit. Remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice for this nation and be thankful for that. But also remember Christ, who made the ultimate sacrifice for all of us, and remember the living and show them Christ. We are part of God's great army. I pray that this morning you know that your service is anything but insignificant. I pray that you're reminded just how important each one of you really are. You are a vital part of God's and Christ's body. And without you, the whole body suffers. It is now up to us, the living, to live in such a way that those who died for our freedom did not die in vain. It is up to us, God's army, to live so that all may know Christ and all that His sacrifice was paid for everyone. That's our challenge. We need to celebrate, we need to remember, we need to recommit, but we have a responsibility. I want to conclude today with this, and it's one year before Memorial Day. On page one of the Tulsa Tribune was this message. Now, I'm not worried about y'all, but I think we have friends and perhaps family that this might be a good reminder. On the Tulsa Tribune, on one day before Memorial Day, wrote this: "The Tribune requests that persons who intend to mix liquor with gasoline on Memorial Day celebrations kindly leave typed obituaries and photographs and one column cuts with the city editor before beginning your celebrations. This courtesy will be greatly appreciated. For those you love, help them remember this holiday. It's not about the party. It's about the people. Remember the deceased. Remember their loved ones. And remember those who are still living. Go and be part of God's army. Amen. And amen." Please pray with me. O eternal God, our Heavenly Father, once who has made flesh in Jesus Christ, and flesh yourself again, and flesh yourself, I pray, in the members of this congregation, that there be some truth in the words I have spoken. Let those words be means whereby you persuade all of us to do the work that you need of us. Make the hearers doers. Make them eyes and ears for you. Make us hands and feet. May we all be thankful and grateful for all the sacrifices given to us and for your love and your providence. And all the people said, amen.